Tesla is facing more competition as GM and Ford and Stellantis and other competitive players start to make sure they get a piece of the EV market. Let's be clear that the automotive sector is moving toward EVs, and we can't pretend otherwise. Sometimes when these debates happen, I feel like it's the early 2000s, and I'm talking to some people who think that we can just have landline phones forever.
World Central Kitchen is putting a halt to their operations in Gaza after seven workers with the organization were killed following an airstrike from the Israeli Defense Forces. White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby says the United States will continue to support defense efforts from Israel because they still face a threat from Hamas.
We're still going to make sure that they can defend themselves.
Clouds tonight and tomorrow morning. Early clouds moving out. It's going to become sunny. It's breezy and turning cooler. After an overnight stray thunderstorm or two or shower, rain chance shuts off and it's dry for the rest of the week. And less humid too. Low to upper 50s in the morning. Tomorrow afternoon becoming sunny and low 70s. Middle 40s to low 50s. Thursday morning followed by a sunny sky, low 70s. Beautiful looking Friday too. 40s to low 50s. The afternoon sunshine with highs in the mid 70s. Come and enjoy the annual spring bird migration. You'll enjoy guided tours to see and hear neotropical songbirds as they make their spring migration across the Gulf of Mexico. Bring your cameras and binoculars to enjoy up-close views, and don't forget to wear comfortable shoes at the Grand Isle Migratory Bird Festival, April 19th, 20th at Grand Isle School on Ludwig Lane. Get more info at townofgrandisle.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the host and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio Incorporated.
Welcome to William Wallace for America. It's your time to speak out about the things that make America the greatest country on earth, and also find things in our country that we can unite on. Your host is William Wallace. William welcomes your positive solutions and questions by calling 504-556-9696. And now your host, William Wallace.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to my show, William Wallace for America, recording live today in WGSO Studios, 990 AM in New Orleans, Louisiana. And as you all know, I love bringing on candidates on my show. If you're watching my podcast, you'll see tons of candidates during election season from all over the country. And I like to really hone in on my home turf, so to speak. There's an election coming up for judge, which I think is going to be one of the most important positions we have here. And I think there's going to be some big differences. I've had Jackie Maloney on my show before, but today we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about why or what the differences are, we'll say. Jackie, thank you so much for being on today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
Well, I tell you, I think there's a lot of things to talk about. Even though it's going to be, it seems like an hour's a long time to talk about what's happened, I think you're in the runoff now.
Yes.
There was a few weeks ago, there was the primary, it wasn't called the primary, but it was served as the primary.
It was called the primary, yeah. And so that was March the 23rd, and the runoff is April 27th, and early voting is, let me get it right, April 13th through the 20th.
Now, out of respect, because you don't know that I don't like early voting, I wasn't going to go blah, 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 blah.
I didn't know.
Oh, no, it's okay. I'm not a big fan of early voting.
I like voting on election day. I've never early voted,
yeah.
So I understand.
I always say, because now they're trying to, the move is to try to make an election season instead of an election day.
Right.
Right. I mean, in Michigan, they've got 30 days of elections.
Do they really?
For every election, they have 30 days of voting.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, they got absentee, they got early voting, they expanded that. It's absolutely crazy.
Wow.
So how did you do in the primary? Let's talk about that.
Okay, good. I was very pleased
with the
results.
Obviously, there's three candidates.
Right, there was three candidates, and my opponent came in at 39%. I came in at 37%, and Mr. Smith came in, I believe it was at 22%.
Yeah, I thought he was going to have a better showing than that. Because he's run before, for this race. I figured the name recognition would have had him, do a little bit better than that.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was gonna be you and him in the runoff. I'd just be direct. I'm not, you know, saying anything negative. I'm just saying, I just thought it would be you and him in the runoff.
I'll be honest. I hoped it would be he and I in the runoff because he's a good guy. He's got experience. He's been in the courtroom before. And so I was disappointed it was not, you know, a runoff between the two of us.
Exactly, because the two of you are very similar in a lot of ways.
We are.
You know, you all have a lot of experience in the courtroom. You have a lot of experience as an attorney. You know, I think that makes a huge difference in where you've been.
It is, and that's the platform that my campaign has run on, that experience matters, and it's not just, a platitude. It's the truth. You have to have experience to sit and preside over these incredibly serious cases that range from murders and rapes and robberies where people have been horrifically victimized, and then you're dealing with people's children in custody cases and divorce situations where you're dealing with, you know, they're fighting over property and you want to make the fair decision based on the law. And the best way to learn the law is to be a practitioner in all of those different types of cases where you've seen it, where you've made arguments, you've, you know, argued against this side or that side of a particular issue or the law. And I think it's also important that you are a litigator, that you're a courtroom lawyer before you are a trial court judge, and you know the code of evidence, because you have to make rulings in the moment, and people will make attorneys will make objections, and you better know what you're doing, because if you admit, say in a criminal case, you admit evidence that should not be allowed in, it could cause the case to be reversed. And you basically would be re-victimizing a victim of a violent crime to have to come back in and do it again 5-6 years down the road. And I've seen that happen.
You mean where somebody objects and the judge doesn't catch it, and then it gets overturned, and then it's out of the judge's control?
Just judicial error. You know, you have to be careful in those very serious cases that you are making the right rulings, because when there's a conviction, there's going to be an appeal, and it's going to go up to the Fifth Circuit, it's going to go up to the Supreme Court, and they're, you know, reviewing your work as the judge.
It's interesting. Let's talk about that. Judicial, say that again.
Oversight
judicial
review.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about the not just the qualifications, but in this area of where a judge that does not have experience. I mean, they can say they're going to be tough on crime all they want, that they're going to be, you know, the perfect candidate, but if they don't have experience, what I'm hearing from you is there's a lot of areas that lack of experience could hurt the community more than it could help.
Yes, and that's true. And I've seen mistakes made sometimes by experienced judges, or at least the appellate court thought it was a mistake. And certainly those, you know, the instances where I've actually seen that, it's been from experienced judges who may have thought that what they were doing was legally correct, and the appellate court simply disagreed. But I've also seen instances where there was error from a judge that didn't have experience in that particular area of law, and, you know, was operating based on what they thought was right but wasn't necessarily right, and it's caused a real, in certain cases, just a traumatic effect.
Well, let's talk about that, the other areas, I guess, if you will.
Sure.
So an objection we talked about, but what are other things that could happen during a trial that are very simple oversights of a judge?
Well, I mean, in criminal cases, and really even in civil cases, lawyers will ask the court for a pretrial ruling. It's called a motion in limine. You file paperwork at the court and say, I'd like to introduce this evidence at trial. Please let me know in advance of trial if I can do that. And I've seen instances where the court said, yes, you can, and other times where they said, no, you couldn't. And, you know, sometimes the appellate court disagreed and reversed and sent it back and said, no, that evidence is or is not admissible. So that's the procedural mechanism to do it in advance of trial. But a lot of times in a trial, particularly criminal trials, objections are made instantly in the midst of trial, and the judge better know the code of evidence and how to apply it.
Well, I guess there's a lot of camaraderie between the judges. I mean, how many judges are in this court?
16.
Okay, so there's 16 judges. Can the argument be made that she's going to be able, or you're going to be able to, or anybody could, in effect, talk to each other and say, hey, what happens in a case like this?
No.
What do I do?
No, that's absolutely not allowed. In fact, when that does happen, it's an ethical issue. So when you're the judge, you can talk to your law clerk and you all can bounce things back and forth between each other. That's ethically proper. But you can't seek out the advice from another judge and say, you know, what do you think about this issue? It's not allowed.
Or a court proceeding. So what I'm saying is, but would that be something that's more in the moment? So in other words, a judge might say, ooh, gosh, that objection I can't take, or this, you know, this pretrial. You know all the fancy terminology. I don't. I'm sorry. Okay. Pretrial this or whatever rule or regulation, can that person that's a judge that might not have the experience go to another judge and say, hey, what do I do in this situation?
No, emphatically not. They are not
so
allowed to do that.
So you really need to have courtroom experience.
Yes.
Not just to accept this job, but really to even run for this job.
Correct. And that's... Yeah, it's part of the reason why I'm running. It's part of the reason why I didn't run, you know, 12 years ago is because I knew back then when I left the DA's office in 2012 that I did not have the experience in civil and domestic law, and I had only been a prosecutor, which is great, and I, you know, my experience was wonderful and I learned so much. But the court in Jefferson is a court of general jurisdiction. So they don't just hear criminal cases. They hear civil and domestic. So I left to make sure I would have the experience as a practitioner before I decided to run, because I tell you, in 2012, I was not qualified.
It's amazing to me that you are humble enough to admit that.
Well, it's true.
That's humbling. I mean, to not be so arrogant to say, well, because I wanted to be a judge, I'm going to be the best judge, or because I want to be a judge, I'm going to, you know, do everything right, or be so arrogant as to say that, you know, just because you want to be, you should be.
Well, I appreciate that.
And you're humble enough to admit that you weren't ready. That's why you didn't run. But and now you're saying, hey, look, I know I'm ready.
I am ready. I mean, I've been practicing. This is my 26th year of practice, and I've handled every area that will come before that court. And I did it intentionally. I've sat in every seat in the courtroom because I wanted to make sure I understood how things work from that perspective, to be able to make arguments from the law, and, you know, from that angle and from this angle, to fully and completely understand.
So you've almost been in training for all this time.
It has been.
You're ready
training.
For it. Well, look, we have a break here in just a minute. When we get back, I want to talk. I have a big question for you when we get back. I'll tell you that when we get back here on my show, William Wallace for America on WGSO 990 AM, brought to you partly by Pell Hughes Direct Mail and Printing. Check them out for all your printing and direct mail needs. There is a restaurant on the West Bank side of Jefferson Parish called Signet Landing, and it is a true gem for Louisiana-style dining for lunch or dinner. And their back porch overlooks a bayou with the boats of fishermen and shrimpers, so you know their seafood is fresh. So imagine having a meal at Signet Landing, and you won't be disappointed while the sun sets behind the boating community there at Signet Landing, and tell them William Wallace sent you. I love MyPillow products, and I love that Mike Lindell is so passionate about his products and America. I use the pillows and the slippers and enjoy them so much, I'm placing orders on more of his products using the promo code WWFA at MyPillow.com to get big discounts on any of their products, and you will see what the rest of America loves about the products you can find at MyPillow.com using the promo code WWFA. A very smart financial person once said there are 5 G's you need in life, and that's God, gold, guns, grub, and ground. And there is a place in Slidell that has gold and guns, and that's Gold and Gun Traders at 1428 Gauze Boulevard in Slidell. And they buy, sell, trade, and transfer. So if you want to buy, have a need to sell, or just need some help doing a transfer, they can help you. Call them at 985-326-GOLD.
Jenna McCaffrey is a personal injury attorney, not a billboard attorney. With Jenna McCaffrey, it's not business, it's personal. She recognizes that when you have had an accident, you don't need promises. You need personal service, good advice, and someone that takes your situation personally and offers a level of service that makes you feel like your needs were met and not like you had to take a number hoping you will be made whole again. Her number is 504-837-1234. And remember, it's not business, it's personal.
When you think of a hotel, you think of someplace you stay when you are away from home. But here in New Orleans, there is a hotel you will want your out-of-town guests to stay at, and you will want to do a staycation there. And the name is Park View Historic Hotel. They are on St. Charles Avenue, overlooking the streetcar line and Audubon Park. Great views on all sides of the Park View Historic Hotel. A historic home with antiques from days gone by with a beautiful history will make any stay at the Park View Historic Hotel a unique experience. Get ready, Greater New Orleans. The Great Southern Gun and Knife Show is coming for 2 days only, April 13th and 14th at the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard. Show hours Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun books, camouflage, jewelry, and more. That's the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, April 13th and 14th at the Pontchartrain Center. Show hours 9 to 5 on Saturday, 10 to 5 on Sunday. Don't miss it.
Welcome back to William Wallace for America on WGSO 990 AM. And as you know, I love to interview my political candidates and also promoting my people who promote political candidates like Pell Hughes. But I think it's really important to highlight the differences between candidates. And I try to do it in the most positive way. I'm not the attack dog. I don't want to be the attack dog. But I think it's important to voters to see differences, because without seeing the differences, and I do it in a positive way, because I think it's important, because what happens a lot of times, the voters just shut their ears. They just shut their minds and they won't listen to it. So, but something that's important to me is I don't like the fact that in all political offices, whether it's national, statewide, or local, you tend to see this elevation of certain people to political office, and you keep seeing them getting lifted up and lifted up and lifted up, and then you see things not being done the right way sometimes. And in this case, Jackie, I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Are you the establishment candidate?
No, definitely, most assuredly not.
Because I get all too often, I see a lot of elected officials, and then you start doing the homework.
Look,
you start doing the research and you go, oh, well, they're related to this person, or
right. They're,
you know, their father, their dad, their, you know, whoever the case may be, their brother, their cousin, their sister, whoever works here.
So I don't come from a political family. My dad, whose birthday it is today, actually,
oh, wow.
Birthday, so I want to say happy birthday to my dad and my aunt and
happy
his sister.
Happy birthday to you.
It's her birthday, too.
Is he listening?
I think I told him I'd be on, so I hope so.
Happy birthday.
My aunt's probably listening. It's her birthday, too. So... Like I was saying, I don't come from a political family. The whole time growing up, my dad was a TV repairman, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, I come from working-class people. And when I went to college, my dad actually started college. He went back to college, too. When I was 19, we were at UNO at the same time together. So we're definitely not an establishment family. And, you know, we've struggled like other blue-collar, working-class families. And, you know, I put myself through school, college, law school, and I worked at the DA's office as a public servant for a long time, sort of as a grunt, if you will, in the trials division in Orleans and Jefferson. And, you know, I love my family, and they're wonderful people, but we're not an establishment family. It's just a funny question, you know. So everything that I am today and everything that I have, you know, I've earned myself. It doesn't come from my parents. It doesn't come from any other family members. I stand on my own 2 feet, and I'm very proud of it.
I just want to make sure, and I love your humble roots. I love your humble tone, and I like that. I think that's very judicial.
Thank you.
I mean,
I hope so.
I really do. I think it's very judicial to have that kind of a humbleness about you. And I'm just concerned about, that's why I asked you if you're the establishment candidate, because that's what I don't want.
No, I'm not.
You know, is somebody that just kind of be elevated when you hear, but you don't have any big endorsements, though.
So the Republican Party of Jefferson Parish endorsed me, and the Alliance for Good Government endorsed
me. Those are two big ones.
Yeah, and so those are groups of people who listen to the candidates speak, and after hearing all three of us speak, you know, said that I would be the best candidate to be elected in this race. So do I have politicians behind me? No, I don't. I know everyone because I've, you know, interacted with most, if not all, of, you know, the people who are supporting my opponent, and they're good people. And I am disappointed that they're endorsing someone who has so little experience. And it's, you know, it troubles me. And it's part of the reason why I decided to run, because I think that we need to have judges with, run at this time, I mean, because we need to have judges who do have the experience to preside over these very important cases. And my opponent, and I understand that you want to be positive, but that is the unfortunate truth here, is that my opponent has virtually no experience.
Well, I appreciate that you brought it out in a positive way. I mean, it's just like you said, they're just saying a fact, you know, on that. But also, you know, it's that when the establishment, I guess, seems to be behind somebody. I mean, you've got groups of people that have endorsed your campaign. I've also heard things from time to time. You'll hear, you know, that person's behind this person, or that person's behind this person. They're supporting different people. Or better yet, you see a sign in front of somebody's house. But signs and endorsements don't vote.
They don't.
Sometimes people get endorsed, but that person that's doing the endorsing is voting for somebody else.
I've known that to be true in the past.
You know, I've seen a lot of that through the years. I mean, I know, you know, it's funny because when I ran for office, I had a lot of people, oh, yeah, you know, I'm endorsing you, I'm behind you. You know, and then you kind of figure out that they didn't vote for you in some way.
Right. They didn't vote at all, which is even worse.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'm voting for you, and they don't vote. Oh, right. Goodness. You know, so I guess my point of saying that is, you know, in a political race, I would rather people look at each candidate, their qualifications and their background, instead of listening to endorsements or looking at signs. I know in your case, you know, the Republican Party of Jefferson Parish and the Alliance for Good Government are really good endorsements. And so here I'm saying, don't look at endorsements, but kind of look at that endorsement, because it's more of a group of people than it is an individual. Like you got vetted. And I guess what I'm saying is there's a difference between endorsements, you know, an actual endorsement, and a vetting process. So your endorsement came from a vetting process.
I think I agree with that statement. And I'm not telling voters that they should look at these endorsements and have that be the reason why they cast a vote for me. I think voters need to do their own research, look at the background of the two candidates in the race, and decide what's important to them as voters, and then vote accordingly. Personally, I think that experience is the most important factor in making a decision for a judge. To me, there are other types of political offices you can seek where experience is not the most critical thing, but I think for a judge it is, because of the nature of what you do. You have to know what you're doing. So what I'm suggesting to voters is that they look, do research, and make an informed decision.
And while there's I guess you could look at it and say, someone runs on being tough on crime, or they've been in the air quote legal system for a long time. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that they're going to be an experienced judge. Not that, and I'm just being devil's advocate here. Sure. Not that you having 26 years,
almost 26 years.
26 years of experience will make you a good judge.
It would not necessarily make me a good judge.
But the fact is that because you've been on in a courtroom, you at least have the knowledge and the experience and the time in a courtroom seeing what a judge does and seeing the system firsthand gives you a leg up.
Yes, and so I have deliberately spent my time in a courtroom knowing that eventually I intended to run. So that was something that I did intentionally and with forethought to make sure that when I did present myself to the public as a candidate, I could say, look, I have done these things. There are people who've practiced as long as I have who may not have had as much courtroom experience, and that's fine. That's the path that they've chosen, and I certainly wouldn't suggest that that's not a good path. But if you're going to be a trial court judge, you better have spent some time in the court.
Have you spent the time, and you'll be able to answer this question after the break.
Sure.
So you've spent this time preparing yourself to be a judge. Is it more of an ambition, or is it more of that you want to be make sure that you're qualified in your own career as an attorney and possibly a future judge?
Answer it after the break.
Yep, answer that after the break. So everybody else, tune in after the break to get that answer here on my show, William Wallace for America. Why buy new when you can renew? Check out Piazza's Top Gun Coatings in Harahan, Louisiana. They can take that tired old patio furniture, railings, rims, and almost anything made of metal and make it look new again. They do powder and ceramic coating and dustless media blasting to clean it. Please visit Piazza's Top Gun Coatings website at topguncoatings.net or call them at 504-667-3626.
So many of my life's most important moments include the talks that I had with my dad outside on our deck. It was where we got away from the distractions of the indoors and just focused on learning from each other. I want to give that time to my own son today. So as I choose to build an outdoor structure for my home, I'm choosing Sequoia Outdoor Supply. They understand what it means to build memories, and they offer everything I need to get that done. Visit SequoiaOutdoorSupply.com to learn more.
When you think of a hotel, you think of someplace you stay when you are away from home. But here in New Orleans, there is a hotel you will want your out-of-town guests to stay at, and you will want to do a staycation there. And the name is Park View Historic Hotel. They are on St. Charles Avenue, overlooking the streetcar line and Audubon Park. Great views on all sides of the Park View Historic Hotel. A historic home with antiques from days gone by with a beautiful history will make any stay at the Parkview Historic Hotel a unique experience.
Jenna McCaffrey is a personal injury attorney, not a billboard attorney. With Jenna McCaffrey, it's not business, it's personal. She recognizes that when you have had an accident, you don't need promises. You need personal service, good advice, and someone that takes your situation personally and offers a level of service that makes you feel like your needs were met and not like you had to take a number hoping you will be made whole again. Her number is 504-837-1234. And remember, it's not business, it's personal.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Colleen Crane. Governor Landry is displeased that the LSU Lady Tigers were not on the court for the national anthem prior to the game against Iowa. Landry says he respects Coach Kim Mulkey, but there should be a deep respect for those who serve to protect and unite us under one flag. Mulkey says she didn't know when the anthem was played.
We kind of have a routine where we are on the floor and then they come off at the 12-minute mark. I don't know, and we come in and we do our pregame stuff. I'm sorry, that's nothing intentionally done.
In a post on social media, Landry says he wants the Board of Regents to put a policy in place that requires student athletes to be present for the national anthem or risk their athletic scholarship. A new 20-foot by 30-foot pavilion at Jimmy Davis State Park in Jackson Parish has opened. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser says the North Central Baptist Association paid for and constructed the new facility.
They're a great partner in this, and they have financially supported that park, and they will be using it for church services.
LRN.
Who says three's a crowd? Join the crowd and play 333 from the lottery. Win up to $3,000. Visit your favorite lottery retailer and ask for 333 today for your chance to win up to $3,000. Want to max out your fun? Here's your chance. Pick up max money from the lottery. Win up to $20,000. Stop at any lottery retailer and play max money today for your chance to win up to $20,000. Louisiana Lottery, giving you a reason to smile. Must be at least 21 to purchase.
Hey, it's me, Gus the Gopher for Atmos Energy. I dig all around the yard. Occasionally, I bump into a utility line and get a headache. But if you hit one with your shovel, backhoe, or ditch digger, you could cause a gas leak, disrupt service, or worse. So call 811 at least 3 business days before you or someone else digs in your yard to have those underground utility-owned lines marked. It's free, and it's the law. You dig what I'm saying? For more on safe digging, visit atmosenergy.com/811.
There is a restaurant on the West Bank side of Jefferson Parish called Signet Landing, and it is a true gem for Louisiana-style dining for lunch or dinner. And their back porch overlooks a bayou with the boats of fishermen and shrimpers, so you know their seafood is fresh. So imagine having a meal at Signet Landing, and you won't be disappointed while the sun sets behind the boating community there at Signet Landing, and tell them William Wallace sent you. A very smart financial person once said there are 5 G's you need in life, and that's God, gold, guns, grub, and ground. And there is a place in Slidell that has gold and guns, and that's Gold and Gun Traders at 1428 Gauze Boulevard in Slidell. And they buy, sell, trade, and transfer. So if you want to buy, have a need to sell, or just need some help doing a transfer, they can help you. Call them at 985-326-GOLD.
So many of my life's most important moments include the talks that I had with my dad outside on our deck. It was where we got away from the distractions of the indoors and just focused on learning from each other. I want to give that time to my own son today. So as I choose to build an outdoor structure for my home, I'm choosing Sequoia Outdoor Supply. They understand what it means to build memories, and they offer everything I need to get that done. Visit SequoiaOutdoorSupply.com to learn more.
Get ready, Raider New Orleans. The Great Southern Gun and Knife Show is coming for 2 days only, April 13th and 14th at the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard. Show hours Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun books, camouflage, jewelry, and more. That's the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, April 13th and 14th at the Pontchartrain Center. Show hours 9 to 5 on Saturday, 10 to 5 on Sunday. Don't miss it.
All right, welcome back to William Wallace for America in the studio today with Jackie Maloney. And I asked you before the break, we let people have that teaser. I caught on to something when you were saying you sat in the courtroom because you said you knew you wanted to be a judge one day and you wanted to learn everything. So were you in the courtroom because this is more of an ambition, this position, or were you in the courtroom because you knew one day you wanted to be a judge and you wanted to make sure you were prepared?
There is a difference. And I've spent this much time in the courtroom because I love to be in the courtroom. I just enjoy it. And I know some people may think that there's something, you know, a little off with that. I know my family's always said, you love going to trial. But I have always just enjoyed it. I enjoy the process. I think we have the best system of justice in the world, and I have loved being a part of it. And so I thought about running for judge back, you know, when I was, 37, 38. But I knew, I wasn't qualified. And so I went out, I opened a private practice so that if I decided to run, I would be qualified. And I think I must have had it in the back of my mind that I would do this eventually. It's kind of a natural progression, I think, for someone who spends this much time in a courtroom. But as an ambition, no. I honestly thought when I left the DA's office that I would be in private practice for a shorter period of time and then make some decisions. But I've enjoyed it so much. And, you know, I've enjoyed the people who I work with. I've enjoyed going to courts all over Southeast Louisiana. So I think that the best answer is that it's not necessarily an ambition, but something that I personally know I would enjoy because I like to be in that place.
It sounds like it's from a place in your heart out of passion, not ambition, but this has become your passion. So is it passion to have a position of being a judge, or is it a passion for the law?
I love the law.
Because I'll tell you, my daughter's an attorney.
Oh, is she? I didn't know. Okay.
And I knew years ago, like, she just has a passion for the law. I mean, like, she just is passionate.
I love it.
You know, about it.
I guess let me clarify that. It's not even necessarily the law. It's the application of the law and making an argument and representing a client and waiting for the judge's ruling. And just the process itself has always, I enjoy it. I love it. And I've loved it since I did moot court when I was in law school. I just really enjoyed that. And, you know, I married another attorney who spent a lot of time in the courtroom, and it was something that he and I had in common. And I can't wait to do this, honestly. And I think that I'll do the best job I can every day to be fair in every case and be patient with people and listen. And I'm looking forward to doing it.
So now I'm hearing another aspect of your candidacy that I think, or appears to me, as being more well-rounded. You know, you have a lot of experience.
I do.
And you have a passion for the law. You love being in the courtroom. Is that, do you think that having more, it's just another characteristic, I think, that might make you, you know, a better judge. What do you think about that?
Well, I hope so. You know, I very much hope that that will make me a better judge, the best possible judge. And we'll see. You know, I think that we're going to have a good positive result on April 27th. and then we'll see what happens.
We just need to get voter turnout.
I think voter turnout is not going to be great. That's part of the reason why I wanted to come on your show. I want to make sure that people know that there's a runoff, that it's important to get out and vote. Only 15.7% of people voted for the primary. And I think that turnout, I haven't talked to my statistician yet, but I think it will be under 10%, which is really a shame.
It really is. I talk about this all the time, and I'll just give you a little snippet of some interviews I've done recently. You know, I've got friends that are on the machines, and they're like, oh, the machine's the problem, the machine's the problem, the machine's the problems. And look, admittedly, I believe that the machines can be hacked into, okay? I'm not blaming any company. I'm not blaming any election company, any election machine company. I'm not blaming them at all whatsoever, okay? Because if you can – we just saw AT&T got hacked into.
That's true.
The Department of Motor Vehicles got hacked into in Louisiana, and some big casino in Las Vegas just got hacked into by a teenager.
Wow.
Okay.
I guess that's true. When there's a will, there's a way. Huh?
Exactly. So my point is that while I believe that it can happen, mm-hmm. I think that our biggest problem with our elections is that we don't have enough people going to vote.
It's apathy.
We don't have enough people get out and I tell everybody, look, before you get a voter turnout above 50%, stop complaining about all the inanimate objects. Start complaining about your own friends and family that don't get out and vote. And when you complain about taxes and the water bill, stop complaining until you can get more people out to vote.
A similar issue. I feel very strongly about both voter turnout, but also jury duty. And I think that a lot of people who have connections can get out of going and doing their civic duty when it comes to serving on a jury. And it's so important. And it's obviously the same issue with voting. I think that people need to be more in tune with what's happening in this community. And they need to be more willing to be an active participant in it to make sure that we all stay safe. You know, if all the people who have connections, and I've seen it happen many times, make a call and get out of jury duty, then, you know, it was always difficult, hard for me to listen to them complain about verdicts. You know, I'd ask, when is the last time that you served on a jury?
And then they say,
everybody has a busy life.
I said it for you. I get it, right. I get your point because, I mean, until people see all aspects, I mean, like, most people in our society in general don't see the inside of a courtroom.
No, they don't. And I understand it's
intimidating. So they don't have a
clue. I know it's intimidating. Most people don't enjoy it like I do. You know, they think of it with dread. And I understand that. But if they're not, the general regular John or Jane Q citizen is not willing to come in and be a participant in the process collapses. You know, and I've seen so many cases. I've tried, you know, so many jury trials where we had, you know, person after person saying, you know, giving various reasons why they just couldn't stay. They couldn't listen. They, you know, and it was just always, I always was so disappointed with that.
I guess when you look at the apathy for not only elections and the apathy for not turning out for jury duty, and then you look at why does it matter to put the right person in a judge's seat, bench, right? I say the bench, right?
Bench seat. Okay. It's fine.
Yeah, but you're sitting in a comfy seat up there, right?
I hope so.
Well, if it sounds like you're going to be sitting there for a long time because you love the place.
I do, yes.
You're going to be scheduling court all the way up to midnight. Like
they don't let you do that anymore. I've had some judges.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've tried. This is mostly when I was in New Orleans at the DA's office. We would try cases and sometimes be there till. One time I was there till 2 or 3 in the morning. I was asleep on one of the sofas in the judge's chambers. Me and all the lawyers fell asleep. But they don't let you do that anymore. They make you leave at a certain time. I think it's 7:30.
Well, you get a slot. You get a slot. You shoot for midnight. I'm going to be here all night while we're having our case.
No, these days in Gratina, the security will say, nope, you got to go. Unless the jury's deliberating, and then they'll let them deliberate, you know, later than that. But there's no 2, 3 o'clock in the morning verdicts anymore.
So let's talk about this for a second. We're talking about voter apathy. We're talking about, you know, jury duty apathy, we'll call it. And now we got a final an election coming up where it's going to be probably under 10% if we're lucky.
If we're lucky.
Why should people care about this judge's position? when we said earlier that most people never see inside of a courtroom, they never have, you know, even a divorce is now, they don't go into, you know, to a courtroom or, you know, that,
right.
I mean, or child, I mean, look, child custody, some, a lot don't even go into a courtroom anymore.
That's correct. No,
civil procedures, whatever, that, you
that's
know,
correct.
It's only a small portion of the criminals that go to a courtroom. Why should people care about who they elect for judge?
Well, let me back you up just a second. There, in divorces and custody cases, if the people are getting along, and it, honestly, I tell my clients too, if you're smart, you'll want to stay out of a courtroom and not pay as much in attorney's fees and have the, you know, the stress and the really the misery of going through this process. So those people, the smart ones, will say, let's enter an agreement, let's negotiate, let's be reasonable. But there are some people that, for whatever reason, either they don't want to be reasonable or they simply can't because the situation is dangerous for the children, and I understand that completely. Those cases go to court quite frequently. Criminal cases, those trials are not, those types of cases don't go to trial as often as the civil cases. And what I would tell your listeners, why it's important to come out and vote and to do your research and make an informed, educated decision, is because at some point it might be you there, and you want to have a judge who, number one, cares, number two, knows what they're doing and is going to apply the law and be fair and impartial and not motivated by any kind of bias, and also not feel politically bound or politically beholden to anybody. And I can tell you this, I am independent, I'm not beholden to anybody, and I will make a decision in every case that I believe is fair and just after I patiently listen to what the litigants have to say. Most cases do resolve in consent agreements, but the ones that don't, you better have the right judge on the bench for your case.
Because that time when you have to sue your neighbor because they,
for whatever reason,
or maybe you, a person of your in your family is a has been is a victim,
correct,
and you got to go to court. You want to know that that judge isn't there because, oh, well, they got elected. Great, they got elected. I mean, it's easy to get elected. It's not easy to have the experience, you know, and be up on the bench, I guess. Well, maybe I said that the last one piece the wrong way. But you, when you go in there, you want to know that that judge that's making a decision on your life.
Right.
Or a decision on your family's life.
Or your money, your
or
finances.
Or your money or your finances or your land rights. Has the experience.
Correct.
And if they've never served, if they've never had a courtroom experience and they don't know, and you have a unique scenario that comes in front of that judge and they've never had the experience to see that unique situation, then they might not know how to make a ruling, or they might make a slip of, again, I don't know all the legal terms. And that case gets gets thrown out. You've lost.
And you may not have the money to file an appeal. So it's very important that the judge gets it right.
This is why it's important to have a judge with experience.
Correct.
Okay.
One of the many reasons.
I love this. Okay, we got another break. After the break, I've got something else I want to talk about on motivating people and getting to the polls on this next election. Okay. Here on my show, William Wallace for America.
There is a restaurant on the West Bank side of Jefferson Parish called Signet Landing, and it is a true gem for Louisiana-style dining for lunch or dinner. And their back porch overlooks a bayou with the boats of fishermen and shrimpers, so you know their seafood is fresh. So imagine having a meal at Signet Landing, and you won't be disappointed while the sun sets behind the boating community there at Signet Landing, and tell them William Wallace sent you. A very smart financial person once said there are 5 G's you need in life, and that's God, gold, guns, grub, and ground. And there is a place in Slidell that has gold and guns, and that's Golden Gun Traders at 1428 Gauze Boulevard in Slidell. And they buy, sell, trade, and transfer. So if you want to buy, have a need to sell, or just need some help doing a transfer, they can help you. Call them at 985-326-GOLD.
Why buy new when you can renew? Check out Piazza's Top Gun Coatings in Harahan, Louisiana. They can take that tired old patio furniture, railings, rims, and almost anything made of metal and make it look new again. They do powder and ceramic coating and dustless media blasting to clean it. Please visit Piazza's Top Gun Coatings website at topguncoatings.net or call them at 504-667-3626.
I love MyPillow products, and I love that Mike Lindell is so passionate about his products and America. I use the pillows and the slippers and enjoy them so much, I'm placing orders on more of his products using the promo code WWFA at MyPillow.com to get big discounts on any of their products, and you will see what the rest of America loves about the products you can find at MyPillow.com using the promo code WWFA.
So many of my life's most important moments include the talks that I had with my dad outside on our deck. It was where we got away from the distractions of the indoors and just focused on learning from each other. I want to give that time to my own son today. So as I choose to build an outdoor structure for my home, I'm choosing Sequoia Outdoor Supply. They understand what it means to build memories, and they offer everything I need to get that done. Visit SequoiaOutdoorSupply.com to learn more.
When you think of a hotel, you think of someplace you stay when you are away from home. But here in New Orleans, there is a hotel you will want your out-of-town guest to stay at, and you will want to do a staycation there. And the name is Park View Historic Hotel. They are on St. Charles Avenue, overlooking the streetcar line and Audubon Park. Great views on all sides of the Park View Historic Hotel. A historic home with antiques from days gone by with a beautiful history will make any stay at the Parkview Historic Hotel a unique experience.
All my friends are searching. Welcome back to William Wallace for America. All my political shows are brought to you by Pell Hughes Direct Mail and Printing. Call Adam Strauss over there and say, give me the William Wallace hookup. It's not going to be a big hookup, but it'll take care of you a little bit. Either way, with Jackie Maloney, and let's talk this last segment, Jackie, about why is it important for people to turn out and vote. I mean, we've talked about some of it a little bit. I get it. But let's zero in on maybe some cases for the next few minutes. I mean, because now I'm motivated. Now I'm like really frustrated because when I think about voter apathy, mm-hmm. you know, I really want to do some motivating.
So, you know, what really I think appeals to people, at least from a civic standpoint, is we need to have, number one, good jurors in criminal cases, good judges in criminal cases, good prosecutors in criminal cases, and good defense attorneys. And we just need good people in the courtroom on those cases to make sure it's handled properly, that the right result occurs, and that we have a judge who's not afraid to sentence violent offenders to periods of incarceration. Because it's always been my position that if you have no problem hurting someone, then you need to go sit down over, you know, somewhere and get out of society until, you know, enough time passes that you calm down, and maybe you never calm down. It depends on what you've done. So we need to have people in the courtroom to ensure public safety. And I think that should be a huge motivating factor because we all have to live here. We all have to live in Jefferson and the greater metropolitan New Orleans area. And if you don't have the right people in place, the people who like to hurt others will get away with it, and they'll continue to do it. And it's awful. It shouldn't happen.
Right. Well, and I guess what else is intriguing to me is, put it on my radar for the question. Mm-hmm. You talked about, you know, jurors, finding the right defense attorneys, finding the right, and you started talking about some different people in your courtroom. How far does that authority go for a judge? How much of an influence or how much of a direct control do you have over the people that you bring into your courtroom?
Oh, you have no control over that. I mean,
common sense. I get it. Yeah. You don't have control over their, you know, a defense attorney or the other. I get that.
Or even the DA, because the DA's office in each parish assigns, you know, their choice to that division of court. And like I was telling you at the break, you know, I was assigned to one particular judge in Jefferson for 2 years. When I worked in New Orleans, I was assigned to 3 or 4 different judges for different periods of time. So the judges have no control over who's assigned to them. But they have a lot of control. I guess the best way to describe it is that they're gatekeepers, and they make a decision about what evidence comes in, what statements come in, what evidence is excluded. And those decisions can be huge in these serious cases, especially with violent offenders, because you want to make sure that the right evidence is admitted and not the type of evidence that will cause the case to be reversed. And you want to make sure that you're not hamstringing the prosecution from introducing evidence that should be admitted. Because if you go too far, then you're hurting their case and you're possibly causing an acquittal where one should not happen. So you have to walk the line and know what evidence comes in and be a really good gatekeeper during those types of proceedings.
Is that where
when you hear people say, you know, whether it's a politician running for whatever office, council, state rep, whatever the case, oh, I'm going to be tougher on crime. I'm going to be the toughest person on crime. And I've got all the, I'm going to be tougher on crime. And that's their mantra, they're going to be tougher on crime. But yet, sometimes as a judge, I've interviewed a lot of attorneys on this, tough on crime doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing. Because sometimes there's criminals that, again, I might not be saying this the right way,
it's okay.
But there might be people, let's just say people, that have to go through the justice system. Maybe they've made a mistake. And to throw the book at them might be have a worse effect on society than a better effect. And I think The previous judge in this that held this seat did a real good job at being able to figure out which criminals deserved reentry programs,
correct,
second chances, which ones also needed the book thrown at them. And granted, there's juries for that, and there's a whole process for that, but the judge has a lot of say in the process.
They do. Yes, that's completely accurate, and I like the way that you put it. There are people who come into the system who make stupid mistakes, who are not violent, who deserve a second chance, who deserve to go through the program.
It doesn't mean you're being soft on crime.
No, but I'll say this, and I want to make sure I say this very plainly for your listeners and for any voter who might be listening. If you're a violent offender and you come into my court and you've hurt someone, and the state proves the case, you're going to jail. My track record has been very tough on violent offenders. I can't stand violent crime. My heart breaks for people who've been the victims of violent crime, and I just think there is no excuse for that. And so, you know, if you're looking for a judge who doesn't feel that way, then I'm not your person. I'm not. I think that there are many people who come into the system, many, who deserve a second chance. And I've seen, and I've
And you'll be the way of the option. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but between the ones that it's better for society to put them in some sort of a program.
Look, I've done that as a DA. I've sent many people to the diversion program. We didn't have reentry court when I was there, but we did, you know, we had DWI court or we had drug court. There were different programs available to nonviolent offenders. But if you're violent, I'll say it again, that's a problem, and I've always felt that way. So you can look at what I've done in the past, and you know what my track record is with violent offenders because I go to trial on those. I have gone to trial on those cases. I've gotten convictions in those cases. I put murderers in jail. I've put rapists in jail, and I have no moral problem with that. I think that some people don't belong in society. And I want us to be safe. I live in Jefferson Parish. I want my kids to be safe. I want your kids to be safe. And I feel very passionately and strongly about that. And I will always feel that way, whether I'm elected or not.
So I asked you a question a few minutes ago, and maybe I didn't finish answering the question fully. But I asked, how far does your authority go in the courtroom? And we talked about the DAs, and we kind of got off track on that. But how many people do you hire? I mean, do you hire? Are there people in your office that you're responsible for? Because that's the other thing. Like, you know, if you don't have connections to other people, who are you going to hire?
So the judge has authority over who they hire. And it's not even that they are hiring, who the court hires as their administrative assistant and their law clerk. Mr. Gegenheimer in Jefferson Parish, who runs just an exemplary clerk of court's office there, actually has some great employees, and he assigns employees as the civil and the criminal minute clerk. But the judge will have some say-so over who does their legal research for them and who is their secretary, essentially. The judge has no control over the DA, what defense attorneys come in, what civil attorneys come in. That's the litigant's decision on who they hire in civil cases, and it's the DA's decision who they send into that courtroom.
Jack, you've got about a minute left. Okay. What's the date? Of course, there's going to be one ballot. There's going to be one thing on the ballot. I think.
There's a tax issue on the ballot. But
they always sneak these taxes in on the low turnouts.
But I would tell
That's how they get the taxes passed. Another reason to go vote.
Yeah. I would tell voters April 27th, please vote for Jackie Maloney, number 167. I am the most experienced candidate in the race, and I'm the only candidate in the race now that has courtroom experience as a prosecutor, as a civil attorney, as a defense attorney. I've sat in every seat.
I think it's important on both sides to work both sides like that.
Yes, it is.
I think it's very important to have that experience. Thank you very much for joining
me
today.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Oh, you're welcome. Really you're absolutely welcome. And I want everybody, please, that you'll share this show. I'll put it up on the podcast or share over the next couple of weeks to give other people a listen so they can make a decision. Also, check out some of my other podcasts. I've already put up a really I'm actually recording another podcast tonight. I'm putting up tomorrow. I'll tell you about it later.
Okay.
Which is really interesting. Please share that. Everybody else, thank you so much. Follow me on social media at William Wallace for America. And we'll talk to you here in WGSO next week.
There is a restaurant on the West Bank side of Jefferson Parish called Signet Landing, and it is a true gem for Louisiana-style dining for lunch or dinner. And their back porch overlooks a bayou with the boats of fishermen and shrimpers, so you know their seafood is fresh. So imagine having a meal at Signet Landing, and you won't be disappointed while the sun sets behind the boating community there at Signet Landing, and tell them William Wallace sent you. I love MyPillow products, and I love that Mike Lindell is so passionate about his products and America. I use the pillows and the slippers and enjoy them so much, I'm placing orders on more of his products using the promo code WWFA at MyPillow.com to get big discounts on any of their products, and you will see what the rest of America loves about the products you can find at MyPillow.com using the promo code WWFA. A very smart financial person once said there are five G's you need in life, and that's God, gold, guns, grub, and ground. And there is a place in Slidell that has gold and guns, and that's Golden Gun Traders at 1428 Gauze Boulevard in Slidell. And they buy, sell, trade, and transfer. So if you want to buy, have a need to sell, or just need some help doing a transfer, they can help you. Call them at 985-326-GOLD.
So many of my life's most important moments include the talks that I had with my dad outside on our deck. It was where we got away from the distractions of the indoors and just focused on learning from each other. I want to give that time to my own son today. So as I choose to build an outdoor structure for my home, I'm choosing Sequoia Outdoor Supply. They understand what it means to build memories, and they offer everything I need to get that done. Visit SequoiaOutdoorSupply.com to learn more.
It's Jeff Cruer. Join me weekdays from 7 to 11 a.m. for Ringside Politics, right here on WGSO 990 AM, New Orleans.